We made a mistake. We made a big mistake.
A shocking mistake has led to danger and backlash against LAPD officers. And now the LAPD is scrambling to figure out a way to protect undercover operations after those undercover officers had their identities revealed to the public.
I think in my 32 years of law enforcement, this is probably the worst thing I've seen happen internally.
While the police chief has apologized to officers, the department struggles to put that genie back in the bottle and also protect officers who are being threatened by a group that's putting a bounty on the heads of the officers.
We won't tolerate it, and we'll do whatever we can to protect our officers.
It's a difficult and tense balancing act between transparency of police operations and protecting officers from extremists. We discussed that and a special honor I received last week from my peers. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Last week, the LAPD mistakenly released the pictures, names, and work locations of over 9,000 police officers, including those who work undercover. The owner of a website called Killer Cops saved all that information and posted it online, saying a bounty would be paid to anyone who kills an LAPD officer. The chief counsel for the LA Police Protective League, Robert Rico, is with us. It's good to see you. And I have to ask you a few things about this, but my colleague Gina Silva did a story about this on this very dangerous situation last week when the identities of the officers, especially these undercover officers, accidentally was disclosed. So let's take a look at that.
We made a mistake. We made a big mistake.
LAPD Chief Michael Moore admits the department failed the rank and file when it released the names and photos of all officers, including those working undercover assignments.
I deeply regret that this mistake happened. I understand personally, given my the own death threats and own matters of me as a public figure and my family has endured as a chief and even before that, that how troubling this can be to a member of this organization, and even more so to those that are involved in sensitive or confidential investigations.
Now, some anti-police websites are putting a target on LAPD officers.
We have people who have taken the list and are now criminally, we believe, making threats against the safety of officers, calling for a bounty and awarding a bounty for individuals who would go out and kill a cop.
You may be wondering why the LAPD would release the names and photos of all the officers. It turns out the department was forced to do so through the California Public Records Act, but they weren't supposed to release the names of undercover officers.
Gina Silva here from Fox 11. And to put it succinctly, this Freedom of Information release puts out the names of more than 9,300 officers along with their photos. This was to assist in a Freedom of Information Act request, right?
That is correct.
The request was from who?
The request was from a reporter named Ben Camacho. And apparently the request was made in October of 2021.
So you know, without getting deep into the weeds yet, how does this happen?
Well, first of all, it shouldn't have happened. And the reason it happened was because of the gross incompetence of the leadership at the Los Angeles Police Department. We have individuals who are put in positions like Elizabeth Rhodes, who's responsible for CPRA, or California Public Records Request Act, request, who oversee and monitor these things, and she failed in her job, should not have turned these documents over, these photographs and names of undercover officers and other officers working in sensitive positions. So it falls on her lap.
We've not had the opportunity to talk to her, but we did hear from the chief who said he was sorry and he apologized and he said it was a big mistake.
We thank him for his apology, but it's a hollow apology. We filed yesterday, a lawsuit suing the chief and the department to take action and right their wrongs. They've admitted to gross negligence. We just heard the chief say that. And while he apologizes, we want him to do something other than just apologize.
Yeah, what do you want them to do? I mean, like we said, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're asking the department to go back to court. We were not party, the league nor the officers were party to the original lawsuit, writ of mandamus that was filed by Mr. Camacho. So we're asking the courts now to force the department to go back into court and do what's called clawback, take back those names that were inappropriately released.
How are these officers feeling? I mean, you know, this gets compounded when this website Killer Cops puts out bounties on police officers.
The officers are dumbfounded. They're devastated. They feel like their safety is legitimately in jeopardy. It's affected morale. I've talked to over 100 officers. We've gotten literally probably close now to 1,000 calls, texts, and emails from officers saying they're going to leave the job. This is it. This is the final straw. So it's impacted morale greatly.
I don't remember anything like this ever happening either. And I think, you know, it strikes me that there's got to be some conversation there about how this process is supposed to be done and how personal and private information has to be preserved.
There does. There needs to be a change in the law. There needs to be notice. First of all, what would have corrected this would have been noticed by the department to our members. The officers then would have had a chance to go to court. The department didn't do that. And there needs to be a deeper dive into what is private and what is not.
There's a lawsuit about taking these things off of Twitter and Google. And how tough is that fight?
Well, we've won the initial fight. Twitter and thank you, Elon Musk, agreed to take down the Killer Cops Twitter site. So that's been successful. We're still suing the owner of that site. And then we have two other actions that are currently pending. One's pending and one is going to be filed.
Suing that owner of the website, isn't that start to get into First Amendment issues?
Potentially it could, but we believe in this case, this separates. These were direct threats that he promulgated, putting bounties on our officers' heads for their murder. And we believe this separates him from free speech protections under the First Amendment.
And so that suit's going forward. What else is happening in this legal realm?
Yeah, yesterday we sued the department again, as I stated earlier, and the chief to go into court and fix what they screwed up. The third thing we have is going to be a class action lawsuit that will be filed for the undercover officers and the officers working in sensitive positions.
When we talk about who sued for freedom of information, it had nothing to do with this website.
No, did not.
They weren't the ones. So it was a reporter that did this. They did the right thing, but it got handled the wrong way.
Correct. Got handled the wrong way. In fact, the reporter went to the police commission and told the police commission, hey, they gave me the information. I didn't ask for this. In other words, I didn't do anything wrong. And we're not blaming Mr. Camacho. We're blaming the department for historic incompetence.
There's so many questions. I mean, there's so much I want to ask you about this because it's such a mind-boggling sort of situation. So hang on. Don't go anywhere. And we'll be right back with more Fox 11 News in depth as we continue to talk about the situation with Robert Rico. And that'll be coming up next on Fox 11 News in depth. Don't go away. So, welcome back to Fox 11 News in depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We're talking with Robert Rico with the Los Angeles Police Protective League, their attorney. And this all involved undercover officers as well.
It did.
And before we get into a question, I really want to ask you about if these officers are having to look over their shoulders more right now. These undercover officers, this is like territory you never touch, right?
This is unprecedented. It's territory you don't go in. They're doing a yeoman's work, protecting us in cases like human trafficking, both domestic and international terrorism, cartel drugs. And so now what's happening, there are direct threats online where individuals are threatening to dox and to put their photographs through a facial recognition program and show up at their homes, follow them to school with their children. And so these are legitimate fears in our officers.
Does that mean they're looking over their shoulder more?
Absolutely.
They're concentrating on the job less?
I would say that they are more worried now about their personal safety and their family safety more than ever.
How are the families dealing with it?
We've gotten calls from families as well, stressed out, afraid, scared, just waiting for somebody to show up at their home.
So what do you do?
Well, what we do is we go to court because
I mean, that doesn't do anything about the safety. Are people going with security guards for families? I mean, what's going on there?
The department has the ability to send officers over to the officers' homes if they, in fact, receive a credible threat. And we have officers that are cleaning the website or trying to clean websites for their information, scrubbing, as they say. And that's the best they can do until we get into court and get a court order to take this stuff down.
Has the department had to send security officers to families' homes?
They have in the past. Based on these recent releases, not yet. But we have received telephone calls from officers who have expressed fears and have notified the department.
And it's not just the current officers that are affected by this?
No, it's officers that have worked undercover in the past that left the job or retired undercover. We received those calls as well, and they will also be part of the class action lawsuit.
And part of that is you got people behind bars who may not like these people.
Yeah, we have cartel members and terrorists and other individuals who have made threats and now have the ability to follow through on their threats because of the department's negligence.
Again, it gets back to that thing we said at the very beginning of the show. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can go to court, you can get these things taken offline, but still, once it's out there, it's kind of out there.
Yeah, it is. But what the court can do is fashion a remedy to allow our officers and their attorneys that if it pops up again, they can go into court and take it down. We're hoping that a remedy, the court will fashion a remedy to allow officers to do that. It's like whack-a-mole, but if we don't give the officers that ability, then they're looking over the shoulders for the rest of their lives.
There's always unintended consequences. Does this affect people's thinking when they want to join the LAPD? Does it affect recruitment?
It does. 2 years ago, we had over 10,000 officers on the job. We now have almost close to 9,000, 9,200 roughly. There are threats online right now to potential applicants that say, if you apply to the LAPD, we have your face, we have your name, and we'll go after you. And so if I'm a potential applicant, I'm not applying at the LAPD. I'm going to a department that wants to protect me, wants to protect my rights, and wants to make sure I'm safe. I'm not applying at the Los Angeles Police Department.
Tell me about this Killer Cop website. That just sounds very creepy.
And not only creepy, but this Killer Cop's website on Twitter, which was suspended by Twitter recently, was setting up bounties against male and female officers, $2,000 to murder our officers and $1,000 extra to murder a female officer. It's not only creepy, it's beyond pale. We've never seen anything like this. And that's what the chief was talking about in the earlier segment about going after him criminally. And we're hoping he does that. Stop apologizing and take action.
Do you know who the people are behind this site?
We know the individual. His name is Sutcliffe. I don't have his first name, but he has been sued individually and as part of the
How long has this website. Been going on?
He's been threatening federal officials and now our officers since 2002. He was sent to federal prison back in 2003, I believe.
Does he have a beef with law enforcement?
I don't know what his background is. He can't have a beef with our officers because our officers haven't done anything to him. There are YouTube sites with him up that he threatens federal officials or he has federal marshals at his house. Has nothing to do with the LAPD. We don't know why he is taking our officers' names and photographs and offered to have them murdered, but we definitely aren't going to allow it to happen.
Transparency is so important. How do you protect transparency when you have this kind of thing happening?
This isn't about transparency. This is about posting information and jeopardizing officer safety. This has nothing to do with transparency.
It doesn't, but I mean, you know, do you get a little more hands off when you have something like this? You put your finger on the stove, you get burned, you don't want to put your finger on the stove again?
Absolutely. So what it's going to do is it's essentially going to end undercover work forever. Who would want to work in an undercover position when you're pretending to be somebody else, for example, in a domestic terrorism type case, and your name and face are online?
So the L.A. Police Protective League being the union for the Los Angeles Police Department, how do you get together with them and say, let's have a plan?
If them is the department, we've gotten together with the department. We've contacted the city attorney's office, and they have refused to go to court. That's why we had to go to court on behalf of our members in our action we filed yesterday. We have confidence in Heidi Soto, the new city attorney, and we believe she'll do the right thing. But for whatever reason, it was not done, so we had to take action on behalf of our members.
All right. Robert Rico, the attorney for the Los Angeles Police Protective League, the LAPD's union, thanks so much for joining us. Please keep us posted on how this case is going. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, I want to share with you a very special moment in my life when my peers in radio and television gave me an incredible honor. I'll tell you, I almost, honest to goodness, I was almost in tears. We'll have more about that right after this. Welcome back. I want to turn the focus to a little bit lighter subject now, and that subject is me. As you may know, I've been in local television for more than 41 years here, and longer than that over my career. I spent 15 years in radio in Texas and Louisiana before coming to Los Angeles. Last week, I was recognized by my peers at the Radio Television News Association of Southern California with a Lifetime Achievement Award. I'd like to share a little bit of those moments with you. Take a look.
To say Hal knows this nation's news and SoCal is an understatement. 41 years on Los Angeles television, he was sent to cover the Columbine mass shooting, the Vegas massacre, Houston's Hurricane Harvey, the Michael Jackson trial and his death. But it is his legacy to the industry that stands above and beyond. Think about what you do on your weekend. I think about this myself when I think of how much Hal has given to our industry for us. You may know of Camp News, the APTRA Academy that he founded each and every year. Many of you have been asked to volunteer. He is a teacher to those who want to do what we do. And then in 2021, when Hal covering the news became the news, you may have heard of the story, if you live in Los Angeles here, of Hal and photographer Joab, who is here as well, being on the job doing interviews in Hollywood when they are hit by a drunk driver. They are in the hospital. They are stories on each and every newscast here in town, a reminder of the preciousness of life and that there's a human being behind every story we cover because we know them. A reminder through Hal and Joab that there is so much more than that minute 30 story on the news. These are people's lives. We lived it, we breathed it through our own. Hal, I know you have been changed forever by that. And I should note that Hal is still going strong. Hal is still a reporter at Fox 11 with no sign of letting up. The man is still going with passion and energy and joy and the unique gift that he brings to his stories. Thank you so much. We're going to take a look at Hal's career.
I'm Hal Eisner in Exposition Park. West Covina,
Sam Marino
at an egg ranch here in Ontario, overlooking the 5 freeway north and south.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
If you've been in Los Angeles for any length of time, this man's face is sure to ring a bell. We're talking about Fox 11 news reporter Hal Eisner. He's been working in SoCal TV news for more than 41 years, and he's not slowing down. During all these years working for KCOP and KTTV, he's won the affection and respect of his colleagues with his passion, energy, and genuine love for what he does.
Happy birthday, Morris.
So when I first met Hal, I was intimidated. I thought, that's the guy who was on CNN, the early days of CNN.
I am so happy that he is getting recognized with this award. He certainly deserves it, and he deserves everything good coming his way.
Hal, congratulations on your Lifetime Achievement Award. I loved working with you, and I loved your work. Well deserved. Congratulations, my friend.
Hal started his career in radio in Texas. You could call those the hair days, the hat days, and the mustache days. But since he's been in L.A., he's covered everything from earthquakes to car crashes to emotional human interest stories.
It's hard. It's hard.
He's brought to them his own unique perspective, new analysis, and always a lot of heart. Another thing you need to know about Hal, he never met a pun or a dad joke he didn't love.
After all, Halloween is my favorite holiday, right? Get it? Halloween.
And he's always willing to become a part of the action, whether it's getting into makeup as a Bajoran for an episode of Deep Space Nine, or donning a nose, or wax lips, onion rings, whatever. Hal's 100% in for the ride.
Shh, it's me.
He's also the host of our public affairs show, In Depth, which has tackled subjects as joyous as the Tournament of Roses parade and as grim as the fentanyl epidemic. All with equal grace, as the previous producer of that show, Tim Langford, and editor Debbie Kim tell us.
You're a great storyteller and a great broadcaster, and everything you do, your excellence, makes everything we do shine.
I've been in this business for about 42 years. I know that's half as long as you. But during that time, there's nobody I've enjoyed working with more than you. You're incredibly professional and creative and really just an all-around nice guy. Nobody deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award more than you.
Hal has received numerous journalism awards over the years. He's also a champion of up-and-coming journalists. He created a mentoring program called Camp News. These are just some of the lives he's changed.
Your passion for opening doors and preparing journalists with the skills they need to be successful is just such important work.
I am forever grateful to Hal Eisner, whose thoughtful idea to help aspiring journalists become successful in this business with hands-on training from the best in local TV has started and jump-started so many careers.
I hold dearly the lessons, the memories, and of course the friendships that I've been able to make after those unbelievable weekends. So Hal, once again, muchas gracias.
Hal, you opened the door for so many journalists like me to connect with mentors and get a taste of our dreams. Thank you for all you do to lift up others. Congratulations on your Golden Mike Lifetime Achievement Award.
I hope you know how much of an impact you've had on so many young journalists, including myself. You were my first male role model in the news industry, and for that, I am so thankful. Congratulations, Hal, and thank you again for being an inspiration to us all.
Hal and his camp have formed me into the journalist I am today.
And I started out helping Hal with Camp News before having the good fortune of working with him at Fox 11. Hal, you're one hell of a reporter, and you value training the next generation of journalists. Congrats on this Lifetime Achievement Award.
I hope your journey moving forward surrounds you with nothing but love and passion. All the best.
And with his podcast, aptly named What the Hal, he's made friends with many of the guests, especially his first ever guest.
Hello, Hal, from London, England, where I'm doing a musical called Allegiance. And congratulations on your Lifetime Achievement Award, an award eminently appropriate because you've lived a lifetime of informing and inspiring people on your reportage. May you continue to live long and prosper.
Well said, George Takei. And congrats from all of us to Hal.
I've been everywhere.
I'm going to cry. Wow, what a hell of a night. I want to thank you all very much. Thanks to the RTNA. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank all of you who have tuned in and watched all these years and continue to support me. And it's always appreciated. It always has been. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this. And that's it for this week's Fox 11 News in depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.